Oz's version of Mr. Brown, Justin Akrey.
All right, what a weekend coming up. By the way, UALR basketball tonight.
Oh, man,
against
really?
Southern, the Arkansas women's basketball team playing tonight. And, of course, the Maui Classic starts next Monday. We'll have live coverage from our own Trey Schaap. Live in Maui. What a good guy to go over there and take care of that
Bless
for us.
His heart. Jumping on that grenade, jumping on that beach beautiful weather grenade.
Mm.
So a week after taking off, he gets to go to Maui, man. That's tough.
No. He's in Maui now.
Oh, he is. Oh, good. He went early.
He paid his own way
to go early.
And
Bless his heart.
Because, by the way, that's a long trip, and if you're going to go, you need to spend at least 10 days over in the islands.
Yeah, you do.
Just saying. I only need to spend 10 minutes with Evan Demerle, though, who is calling in on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. It is, again, a macabre anniversary, I guess. I don't know. I just need a better word. Evan, you're a wordsmith.
It's a solemn time, but for you and I, Justin, it's a celebratory time because this is the 1.5 year anniversary of the first time I was on the show.
Yes, for me, it will always be a day that I will celebrate more than my own anniversary or my own birthday.
Oh, dear.
Yes, it's not a what do you call a year and a half anniversary?
I don't even want to get into that.
What's a better word for anniversary than what we're talking about with JFK? It's a 50-year
commemoration.
Commemoration. Thank you. Yeah. That's
observance.
Perfect. Observance
Ooh,
is even
wow.
better.
Nice.
Okay, good. I knew we could come up with a couple words. All right. Well, anyway, I didn't realize this until you brought it to my attention, and I have not had a chance to read your story yet. Has it been posted officially yet?
Yes, it is up right now on SportingLifeArkansas.com.
50 years ago today was the assassination of JFK, and 50 years ago tomorrow, Arkansas played a college football game, which began actually a spectacular run, the greatest run in school history as far as football wins go.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me a little bit about the angle, the story, who'd you talk to, what was the focus of the piece?
Focus of the piece was why Arkansas, first of all, Arkansas played Texas Tech, and this is the only Southwest Conference game to actually be played that Saturday. There were two others scheduled. Those were postponed to December 7th. And then Texas ended up playing Texas A&M following Thanksgiving Day, so like on November 28th, 63. And it was actually surprising to me, Texas's first consensus national championship was 63, a year before Arkansas. So
that's hard to believe.
Surprised me. I was able to talk to former Razorbacks like Barry Switzer, who was a third-year assistant coach, Ken Hatfield, Fred Marshall, and just kind of got a sense of what was going through these guys' minds after they heard about, you know, JFK's assassination.
Go ahead.
Well, Switzer said he and the coaches, including Broyles, were in a game room in the athletic dorm playing like Moon. Like, I guess, like a Texan type of dominoes card game, when Martin Bercher, who was a young safety who would later become like an All-American Razorback defensive back, came into the room and said, "The president's been shot." They forgot about their lunch plans. They went down to the large room downstairs where there was a TV, and they just sat there in silence, you know, like just like the rest of the nation in shock as they watched the news. He said that the players and the coach said that later in the afternoon, it was just as much as possible business as usual, going to their meetings and focusing as much as they could. It's interesting because according to, you know, Hatfield, Marshall, and Switzer, they weren't very distracted. They were able to put it out in their minds at least 50 years later. That's what they say. And that did surprise me.
Evan Demerle joining us, talking about the assassination of JFK the day after and the fact that Arkansas played the game. And we were talking earlier, and Rick Schaefer suggested that if they had not been in town, maybe there would have been a different course of action taken. But, you know, again, things have changed certainly a lot since those teams played 50 years ago. But, I mean, was that part of the conversation that they were already in town?
Certainly, that was a factor involved. I think specifically what happened was that, so the news broke, you know, around 12:30, 1 o'clock was when they announced that JFK was dead. And at that point, all the Southwest Conference athletic leaders and administrators were conferring with each other whether they should play or not. And the other, like SMU, TCU, Rice, and Baylor, were thinking they would play the next day as scheduled, just like Arkansas and Texas Tech. However, later that night, around 11 p.m., those four programs announced no, they're actually not going to play the next day. They're going to postpone. So at the same time, Arkansas had already decided they were going to go on. Additionally, Texas Tech was already there in the town, or maybe Fort Smith nearby, and it was homecoming game. Mm-hmm. You know, it was their homecoming game. So those factors, the president, David Mullins, at the time said, it's just too late for us to change course. It's difficult, but we're going to go ahead and play the game. That's not to say there wasn't a lot of debate on campus. Many students felt like the game should not have been played.
It's interesting. I'm looking back at that period of time, Evan, and it was pretty common to play homecoming awfully late in the year. I mean, that was the last game of the year. It was homecoming, the final game of the season. I don't know that I've ever really seen that with too many schools ever. It's a mm-hmm. unique situation. Certainly these days you wouldn't really see that. But a lot of the homecoming games, rather, around that period of time in history for Arkansas were played at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of,
yeah,
you know.
And don't forget, this game also determined what bowl game you would go to. You know, the bowl game would be announced in the following days after this last game. So, and this is also how national championships were determined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after Texas beat A&M, they knew they were national champions no matter what would happen in the Cotton Bowl, which they played against Navy that year.
Did you talk to Coach Broyles at all?
He wasn't available to speak with. However, you know, I was able to read his autobiography, and something that very much surprised me was he did not mention this in the autobiography. He also they didn't really touch on the assassination, the players' reactions or the coaches' reactions in the newspaper accounts of the time, at least in the Arkansas Gazette. It's only briefly mentioned as a factor for the potential low attendance. And that also surprised. That shows you the kind of the change in the mm-hmm. times as well.
Well, it's interesting. I'm looking forward to reading it. And I guess for Arkansas, it was like, well, if you're going to make us play, we're not going to lose again for a long time. And did not lose a game again after playing the day after the assassination until January 1st of 1966.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty amazing. What a run that was. So
I mean, this was a very talented team, Justin. This is like the most talented. The 63 team was the most talented in school history. They just couldn't put it together mentally that year. But when they put it together mentally, they just really went forward.
Look at the losses in that year, which, again, in the big scheme of things, when we're talking about the JFK assassination, clearly not very important. But a 1-point loss to TCU, 14-10 they lose to Baylor, a 17-13 loss to Texas, a 7-0 loss at Rice, and a 14-7 loss at SMU the week before beating Texas Tech. I mean, that is incredible to think about, you know, maybe 15, 20 points separating you from an undefeated season.
Exactly. In the year before, they were on the brink of a national championship that year as well.
Yeah. 7-3 loss to Texas, a 17-13 loss to Ole Miss at the end of the year. So, yeah, it's incredible. What a great period in time for Razorback football, and what a tragic day in a strange setting. I'd love it if somebody who was at the game is listening would call in. That would be. I'd love to get somebody's perspective of, you know, your thought process, because I'm sure there were a lot of people wrangling with their own thoughts and feelings about being, you know, whether to go to the game and support their favorite team or whether to stay home. And I'm sure some folks probably wanted to be surrounded by fellow Americans in that period of time too, and whether it was just to take a break or to just feel the support or what. I'm sure there were a lot of different kinds of emotions going on.
And on top of that, you know, like younger people like us have the only parallel we have is 9/11.
Right.
And I believe those games were, if I'm recalling correctly, weren't they postponed or canceled?
Yeah, I think so. In the NFL, for sure. And I think for college games, I think so, too. Yeah, I think that's right. And we'd have to go back and look at that. But I'm pretty sure that's correct. And I can't remember what Arkansas did there. But I'm sure in, you know, 50 years there will be, or 40 years, there will be people talking about that and going back and looking at this and having a similar conversation. So, well, Evan, I appreciate the time always, man. Always good to get you on. And thanks for the perspective. I look forward to reading the piece when I get off the air.
I appreciate it, Justin. Do you have time for one more tidbit, or you got to go?
No, please do. Go ahead.
As I was looking through all these old records, you know, at the same time, SMU's coach Hayden Fry had a bunch of players on his team that this fall in 62-63 were go out and have a nightlife, and one of the places they would go to was a nightclub with dancers who would wear tassels and strategic parts, owned by none other than Jack Ruby.
Really?
Yeah, who owned a couple nightclubs around there, and that he was really well known to all the police and reporters because he was a publicity hound. But yeah, I mean, Hayden Fry in his autobiography says my players frequented Jack Ruby's place.
How about that?
Yeah.
Interesting stuff, man.